Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Monday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well. This is going to be a little different this, at least early on this week, as football, the football practice schedule and media opportunities changing some things around. So this is Bill. I am still at home. I was hoping I'd be able to be in today, but quite frankly, I'm still pretty sore. And it's tough once. If I do a little bit of something, I get worn down pretty quickly. So I am at home with the home studio today. Dan is over at the football complex because Auburn football is practicing this afternoon, and there will be media opportunity with the assistant coaches this afternoon, so that's going to be that's always something that is fun, is to be able to talk with the coaches. It'll be the offensive coaches today available after practice at around 5 o'clock. Dan said he'd check in during the second portion of the show. After the first break, though, is when he's going to check in. So we'll be talking with Dan in about 10 or 15 minutes. And then Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com will also be over at the Waltos Performance Center and to talk with the offensive coaches. So he will be on tomorrow. So that means you're thinking, well, there's nobody in the studio. Yes, there is. as the Coach Don Dunn is back in the studio today. Don, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. How was your weekend?
It was great. Didn't do too much. Just did a little, like I told you, Friday, cooked some ribs, some corn on the cob, mac and cheese, and Don and I had a good weekend, quiet, and getting ready for this hot weather that's coming back, it looks like.
Yeah, it's actually been pretty nice here over the last few days, but yeah, it looks like it will be coming back. So Don's in the studio. I'm at home. Dan will be checking in a little bit. The Auburn offensive coaches are going to be available today. Mm-hmm. Then the defensive coaches will be available Wednesday. And interesting that they're practicing this afternoon because the Wednesday and Thursday practices we know are going to be morning practices. Wednesday morning following practice, it says approximately noon for the defensive coaches, and then there's a viewing window. The media will get another opportunity to watch some of practice on Thursday, and that's Thursday morning. Practice is going to start around 9:30, and then Coach Hugh Freeze and some players will speak following practice on Thursday. So that is our schedule for this week, and that's pretty much what we're getting right now. We're getting once a week the schedule for that upcoming week, just in case things change. So that's what we know that we have for this week. So it looks like Auburn practicing Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Friday is their second scrimmage.
Right.
Saturday they will be off. They're off tomorrow. They're off Saturday, and then they'll practice Sunday. It's probably walkthrough and corrections and things like that. But there will be no media opportunities this weekend or this week after Thursday. So that's what we have as far as our schedule for this week. Auburn did scrimmage on Friday, and Don, they did a great job of keeping that quiet.
Yes.
There's not been a lot of news about it. I believe some family members of the team
mm-hmm.
Were there at practice. I don't know that there were many other folks there, and it has been really tight as far as information coming out from the scrimmage. Little bits here or there. Sounded like the defense had the upper hand, but I mean that I know that sent some some fans, you know, already into panic mode going, oh, no, that means the offense isn't going to be any good. But, I mean, it's not uncommon for the defense to have the upper hand usually in a first scrimmage.
No, not at all. And, yeah, you're right, Bill. I hadn't heard hardly anything about the scrimmage. I've looked all day,
yeah,
all weekend, asked a couple of people, and they've done a great job of keeping it quiet, and I understand that. You know, it's getting close. Each day gets closer to Baylor. And I think that Baylor had they lost a running back, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, their backup running back, who's a big bruiser, mm-hmm. who ran for over 600 yards a year ago.
Yeah, so, I think as it gets closer, it'll even get tighter with the media and the information coming out. But I did hear, like you, that the defense, you know, had a pretty good day. But like you said, Bill, that's not uncommon this time of year, especially the first scrimmage. And you take that with a grain of salt right now. Now, if it happens every week, every scrimmage, right. every practice, then you start to worry a little. But I don't think that's a concern at all. I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, and it's a situation where, look, both sides can't win. when the best is going against the best, and right. apparently that is what happened on Saturday. It was ones versus ones and twos versus twos. When you're going against when you've got your best going against the best, somebody's got to win. And let's face it, I mean, the defense has been practicing. They've been going a lot of best versus best here this fall. And so the defense has been working a lot against the offense. And if the offense doesn't put anything in new, then the defense has got a pretty good idea of how to stop what the offense is doing.
Yeah, they know all their checks. They know all the calls. They know the formations. So, you know, after the second week you're going against each other, you pretty much know what the other guy's going to do for sure.
Yeah, but you're absolutely right. I mean, if the word from this next scrimmage Friday, and I believe they're going to do it two more times, mm-hmm. but I think this will be the heaviest one coming up this Friday. If the word coming out is the defense dominates again, then yes, then you have to wonder, well, does that mean the defense is going to be great, or is the offense really going to struggle?
Yeah, that's, again, I don't think you can put too much in it, but you're right. If the defense continues to dominate, there will be some concerns about our offense for sure.
Yeah, so for those people that have heard different things, I mean, that's about all we have as far as info from the scrimmage on Saturday. Did hear that there was that probably the biggest lick of the day was laid by Jay Crawford. Man, he has just gotten rave reviews. Was an outstanding freshman cornerback last year and has stepped it up and apparently you know, taking it to an even higher level mm-hmm. here this fall.
Yeah, he's, like you said, everything I've heard, he's really stepped up and making plays. And that's what you need at that position.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't sound like anybody was injured
No.
in the scrimmage, so that's good.
Yes.
So that means Auburn's in pretty good shape. They've got a couple of guys that, you know, may miss a practice or something like that.
Yeah.
But don't sound like there's anything really serious as far as injuries. You keep your fingers crossed because, I mean, we're just 2.5 weeks away
right.
from the opener at Waco.
Yeah, it'll be here, like you said, before you know it. And, yeah, you want to stay healthy. And so far, so good. And you're going to have a few nicks and bruises, like you said. Maybe some fatigue. Maybe they'll hold a guy out of this drill or that practice. But, yeah, you want everybody full speed for that first week.
We'd love for you to join in. Again, Dan's going to check in after our first break. He'll be checking in about 5 minutes or so. But you can join us by calling the Drive Hotline, 334-321-1390, and that is sponsored by Skybar. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise, we have both preseason polls out now.
Yeah.
Coach's poll came out the other day, and they have that matchup that we were talking about that would be a first-ever season-opening matchup with number one and number two, with Texas and Ohio State. But in the AP poll, which came out today, Penn State is the number two team. Texas, and this was surprising to me, Don, when mm-hmm. when I saw this. This is the first time Texas has ever been a preseason number one team.
That is hard to believe.
No kidding.
Yeah, that shocks me. I would have lost that in a trivia bet for sure.
Yeah, so Yeah, Texas with 25 first-place votes, Penn State with 23.
Mm.
Then Ohio State finished is the preseason number three team. They got 11 first-place votes. Clemson at number four with 4 first-place votes. Georgia is 5 with 1 first-place vote. Notre Dame 6. And then the final first-place vote went to the number 7 preseason team, the Oregon Ducks. Rounding out your top 10, Alabama, LSU, and Miami. So you have 4 SEC teams in the top 10. Texas 1, Georgia 5, Alabama 8, LSU 9. As you look at 11 through 20, Arizona State is 11, followed by Illinois, South Carolina. The 5th SEC school is number 13. Then Michigan, Florida is number 15.
Hmm.
Then SMU at 16, Kansas State 17, Oklahoma at 18, Texas A&M 19, and Indiana 20. So what was that, 5, 6, 7, 8 SEC teams in the top 20?
Mm-hmm.
And then your final 5, Mississippi, Ole Miss is the 9th SEC team. They're at number 21. Then comes Iowa State, Texas Tech. Tennessee makes 10. Count them. 10 SEC schools in the preseason top 25 as the Vols are in at number 24.
Mm-hmm.
And then Boise State is the 25th team. So 10 SEC schools.
Wow.
in the top 25.
Yeah. A little bit different than the coaches poll, but pretty much the same. Like
yeah,
a lot of them are
yeah. pretty similar. I think Clemson, I think, is 6th in the coaches poll. They're 4th, and then 5-6 move up a spot. Ohio State, Penn State swap. So I mean, they are pretty darn similar.
Yes.
One thing that looks like as crazy as this sounds, I mean, Auburn's schedule. Auburn only plays 4 of those 10 SEC teams in the top 25.
Wow.
This may be the fewest top 25 teams that Auburn has played in quite a while. They've got Georgia, who's number 5.
Right.
Alabama, who's number 8. South Carolina at 13. And, they don't have South Carolina this year.
No, I don't think. No.
No, Oklahoma at 18. Yeah. Oklahoma at 18 and Texas A&M at 19.
Right.
Those are the 4 SEC schools that Auburn has. So I mean, it could be a lot tougher.
Yes, sir.
For the Tigers.
Yes, sir. It sure could. But it's not much difference in the two polls, and it'll be interesting. Yeah, I always like to look back in January and see how accurate they were.
Yeah, no kidding. There will be I thought I heard this. Yeah, that for the past, yeah, I think Doug said this just before I was on the show with him earlier today, that for the past 22 years, at least one preseason top 10 team did not finish in the top 25. Mm-hmm. So every year for 22 straight years, there has been a team preseason ranked in the top 10 that didn't even wind up the year in the top 25. Of course, I mean, I know who one was immediately from last year, Florida State.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so, they had a miserable season.
Oh, yeah. So I wonder who, and that would be sort of fun for people to give us a team that you feel like is in the top 10. Again, it's Texas, Penn State, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, Notre Dame, Oregon, Alabama, LSU, and Miami. Any of those teams that you feel like have a shot of really tumbling and not even finishing in the top 25?
Yeah, that's a great question.
All right, we'll let our listeners help us with that. And again, we'd love to hear from you. Anything on your mind, sports wise? 334-321-1390. I think Dan's going to check in with us when we come back, but we'll get to our first break here on the Monday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday edition of The Drive. Bill from the home studio, got Coach Don Dunn in the studio. And do we have Dan?
Not yet, Bill. We're
trying
to hook up with him.
All right. Well, he said he'd check in for the second segment. In the meantime, a couple of things. This will be interesting to see if it is indeed the case, but our buddy Jason Caldwell posting a couple of hours ago that he's hearing the case against Malcolm Simmons has been dismissed. So we will see. I mean, so there's a little buzz of that out there on the internet. I have not seen anything official about that, but we know that Malcolm was cleared for practice, and he's been working out with the team. So and then of course we talked on Friday that his attorney had asked for youthful offender status in the case. So now there is some rumblings going on that the case may have been dismissed. Again, we'll update you if we get some clarification and some confirmation of that. But again, he would be part of that outstanding wide receiver room that Auburn will have to be working with. Boy, I mean, those guys, again, from the opportunities that people have had to see them. And here's one thing I'm sorry for, that I wanted to go ahead and get this. I needed to go ahead and get the knee done.
Right.
Wanted to get it done so that hopefully, you know, once we're in football season, I'll be able to be getting around a little bit better. But, man, it really bothers me when, you know, I'm not able to watch any of the practice here in the open windows and things like that.
Right.
And I don't know when I'll be able to head back out there and watch. But, man, he looked – I thought Malcolm looked bigger than he did a year ago. And that's understandable. He was just a freshman this past year who didn't go through the winter workouts before his freshman year. Now he'd had that full year going through the winter workouts and the training regimen. But, I mean, it is not only when you look at the hype and things like that, but this is a good-looking receiver room from the size perspective. I mean, Bryce Kane is the only guy who is, you know, smallish-looking. I mean, he looks like a flanker, looks like a slot guy.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of them, Auburn doesn't have these undersized. I mean, Eric Singleton, Malcolm Simmons, Sam Turner, those guys are all big enough to be outside receivers. Duke Smith, another one coming in from Selma. Then you've got even bigger players, the Horatio Fields and Cam Coleman and Eric Smith. Those guys are 6'3" or better. So there's a lot of size as well as speed. They're in that receiver room, and and looking forward to seeing how that rotation works out for those guys this coming fall. Again, let's see if we don't hear from Dan. I was wondering about his thoughts, but Don, I'd love to get your thoughts on the comments from John Gruden over the weekend. Did you see those?
Yeah, there he wants to get back into coaching college.
And he says
SEC.
he died of coaching the SEC.
Yeah, you know, I work with him, Bill, at Pacific. I remember
told
you that.
No, I'd forgotten that.
Yeah, he's quite the character, John. Last time I saw him, he was coaching the All-Star game down in Mobile, you know, the Senior Bowl.
Right. That's
now about 5 years or more.
Yeah, I mean he resigned over the controversy
right.
with some emails back in 2021.
Okay.
And you know he was considered a brilliant young coach, but things didn't go so well for him down the stretch. But that would really be interesting. I don't believe he's been in college. It's been over 30 years since he's been in college.
I can tell you it was when we were at Pacific in Walt Harris's second year. That would have been, I want to say, 80. Yeah, it's been, I'd have to look it up. I want to say late 80s, maybe 90, maybe 1990, 1989. He went from Pacific to, I want to say, the San Francisco 49ers or either the Green Bay Packers as an off-the-field, like one of these analysts. That's how he kind of got started in the pros.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. With Holmgren, Holmgren, I believe, he went with. So he would have been with Green Bay then, I believe.
Yeah.
I'll have to look all that up.
Well, the one thing I did see, I mean, I saw in one story, it said he's hasn't had anything to do with college football since he was the receivers coach at Pitt.
Yeah.
In 91.
Okay, so Walt Harris left Pacific and went to Pitt.
Yeah, I thought he did.
Yeah, and so he would have gone with him probably. Maybe not. He might have already been there. I don't know.
Well, it's like, all right, he was at Pacific in 89.
Right.
And he was the tight ends coach.
Yes.
It shows he was an offensive assistant with the 49ers in 90. You were right about that.
Yeah.
Then he went to Pitt in 91 as receivers coach before he moved to the Packers.
I did not
realize
that.
And then it was all NFL from 92 on. So, you had him all right.
Yeah, I knew he had left Pacific to go, like I said, to one of those analyst jobs. But I did not know he went back to Pitt. And I think that would have been with Walt for a year.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
But you still, man, you've got to wonder about somebody who has not been involved in college football. And I know college football's changed an awful lot, and people say it's more like pro ball now. But, I mean, with the ability of players to be able to transfer on a yearly basis and NIL and recruiting. Of course, I mean, Belichick giving it a shot at Carolina, but you just wonder, how he'd be able to adapt. Plus, you know, the way he left college football, that's going to be something that might prevent some schools from jumping right at him if they have an opening.
Yeah, I don't know. You never know what the AD or the presidents are going to think. And, you know, it's like everything else. When you're out of it for so long, people kind of forget who you are. You know, what have you done for me lately as a coach? I know he does some of these quarterback deals. I see him on the internet all the time getting these packages, you know. I know he visited – was it Georgia last week? Their practice.
Yeah. And that's where these comments
they
came from.
Him, yeah.
He was. Yeah. He was talking to the Georgia team.
Yeah. So who knows? He might have a shot.
Well, I would think that somebody. I don't know that an SEC school though.
That's
I would
pretty
think
big.
Somebody. Somebody is going to give him an opportunity, and as will another guy who's probably still got a couple of dollars left in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah.
Saying he's still got a lot to give, wanting to get back into college coaching.
Yeah, for sure. I would imagine he would.
What that tells you is it's not just about the money. Jimbo is set for life. I mean, he doesn't have to do anything for the rest of his life, but The only way I could sort of relate to it is the extra time you have when you retire, you're wondering what to do, and that's probably what Jimbo feels, and he feels like he's too young to retire.
Yeah, I agree with that. He's a young man yet, but you're right. It's not about the money. They get it in their system, and ego plays a lot in it, and, you know, it's just once a coach, always a coach, as they say.
Yeah, Jimbo, I believe, is a couple of years younger than John Gruden. I think John's 61, Jimbo 59.
Young guy.
We haven't even started the season, but those schools where coaches are on the hot seats.
Oh, yeah, they get their
man,
names.
Man, oh, man. Now you got a couple of names
that can
be tossed out there, whether they're going to be viable or not for the schools that will be looking for new coaches.
Yeah, you're right. It's that time of year, you know, and they start putting pictures up with their uniforms on, their hats on, what schools they might end up at. It's crazy.
Yeah. So Jimbo said, Jimbo, I guess, wanting to point out his attributes and the things he has going for him, pointing out, he said, I've won 72% of my games, 80% of my playoff games. I've been fortunate to win a national championship as a head coach and an assistant. I miss the relationships with players. I would be very interested in still doing it. I still think I've got a lot to give. I'd like to get back out there. I mean, he does. He has. I mean, we were talking about, I mean, with Gruden, he doesn't have that track record in college. Jimbo does. Now, folks will say, yeah, but he kept falling a little bit short. He had talent. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
They had unbelievable recruiting classes his last few years at Texas A&M, but they seemed to keep falling short. They kept losing two or three ball games a year that people didn't think that they should. But I would think Jimbo will be probably a little higher on some people's list than John Gruden.
Yeah, I would think so, for sure.
All right, 334-321-1390. Again, Auburn football practicing right now. And coming up in about a half an hour or so after practice, the offensive assistant's going to be spending time with the media. Let's see, Auburn doesn't have any new offensive assistants this year.
Mm-mm.
It's the same guys from last year with Derek Nix, your offensive coordinator and running backs coach. I'm trying to think of all the Jake Thornton, offensive line. Marcus Davis is your receivers coach.
Mm-hmm.
I'm blanking on the quarterbacks coach. I'm blanking on his name. I can see him right now. But I mean, it's the same staff that Auburn had from a year ago, and that has got to be a plus.
Yes.
I mean, people. I can't imagine there shouldn't be big reasons for the offense to struggle, other than the Auburn defense is going to be pretty good and they understand what's coming, because Auburn has upgraded its talent on offense, and they have stability now in the offensive staff. So the players should understand the system, and the coaches should understand exactly what to expect from the players. So
Ken Austin.
I couldn't remember it either.
Yeah.
I can see him as clear as day.
Yeah.
But so those coaches will be talking with the media, and we'll find out how they felt, how they feel about how practice has gone up to this point and how things went on Saturday. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Come on in and join us here on the Monday Drive, 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through.
Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill, coming to you from the home studio, if you will. Don is at the studio, and Dan is over at the athletic complex, at the new football complex. And don't know if we will hear from him. Maybe they got through with practice and the coaches were coming in a little bit earlier. Don't really know if that's the situation or not. But we do have confirmation. And, again, our good friend Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover writing that Malcolm Simmons has been cleared of all wrongdoing in his legal matters after the case was dismissed today. I'll just read you what Jason had there on Undercover, Auburn Undercover. He wrote, after being cleared by Auburn's Title IX to participate in team activities, sophomore wide receiver Malcolm Simmons has now been cleared of all wrongdoing in his legal matters after his case was dismissed on Monday. Applying for youthful offender status last Friday at his hearing with Judge Samantha Copeland, reviewing the case over the weekend. On Monday, the case was dismissed and will no longer be pursued. Smith was arrested in Lee County on charges of domestic assault with strangulation or suffocation. He has been practicing with Auburn since preseason camp opened July 30th. As head coach Hugh Freeze said, Simmons was cleared based on the information that I've been given from our campus administration who have knowledge of the matter. A former four-star recruit from Alex City, Simmons caught 40 passes as a true freshman last year for 451 yards and 3 touchdowns. He's expected to be a starter for Auburn this fall, as well as playing a part in the return game for the Tigers. So that is taken care of for Malcolm Simmons. And that is a, I mean, there were people that said, oh, this could be bad. Well, Hugh Freeze wouldn't have had an opportunity to play him had Auburn University not cleared him in the first place. And when we heard that, Don, I mean, that made you feel like, well, this probably isn't going to get very far, because the university is not one to just rubber stamp
right.
And say, move on, there's nothing to see here.
For sure. Hey, Bill, we got Dan on the line.
Oh, good. Dan over at the complex getting ready for offensive assistance today. Dan, how's it going?
Yeah, I'm doing all right, guys. I just parked. I'm about to walk over there. I know it's scheduled to start at 5, so we'll see what the story is with the with the offensive assistants. Great that we get the chance to talk with them before the season starts and after the first scrimmage of the preseason
right.
for Auburn. So it's a nice time to get to talk with several of the offensive assistants, especially considering, I mean, it's not. The questions aren't as pressing as they've been in recent years, but I'm curious as to, you know, what Coach Nick thinks of the running back room so far, and even some of that competition at wide receiver. We've seen Marcus very involved in the preseason, and it's a big preseason for some of these wide receivers that want to make a move and get a lot of playing time in 2025. So I'm excited to talk to you guys.
Yeah, and as I was saying a few minutes ago, it's an offensive staff that is back intact from a year ago. So they know more about the guys that they're the players that they're dealing with and what to expect from them.
Yeah, very. I mean, no turnover on the coaching staff for the offense from last season, which is pretty rare in this day and age of college football to have that kind of continuity from last year to this year. We'll see if that helps Auburn's attack. I mean, there are important new faces as far as the players, right? I mean, Arnold, the most notable of the bunch, but at least, yeah, you're not installing a new system that even the holdovers, even the veterans, have to learn. It could be a little bit more, stable in that regard. I guess, you know, we'll ask about that. You know, what's been different about this offseason compared to previous ones?
Yeah, and you mentioned, I mean, the first opportunity to speak with some coaches following the scrimmage. There's been very little information. The word that has seemed to trickle out is most everybody agrees that the defense had the upper hand on Friday.
Yeah, you know, the guy I want to talk to the most about the scrimmage is probably Thornton, right? I want to see, you know, they dialed up the physicality with the offensive line, especially the starters. For guys like Chaplin and Mason, it's their first chance to go full speed in a game-type atmosphere with their new team. I'm curious as to how that went.
Oh, yeah, no question. And, Don, we were talking about it a little while ago. I mean, how much of an advantage is it when you go into that first scrimmage and you've been working against the offense and what they're trying to get done?
Yeah, like I said earlier, you know pretty much what's coming by the calls, the formations, and you've been going against that guy for the last 2 weeks. So I can understand why the defense, and should probably be ahead of the offense right now.
Yeah, Dan, you mentioned Derek Nix. Interesting. Let's see, there were a couple of little things that multiple people had agreed on. One was that the biggest lick of the scrimmage was Jay Crawford on Damari Alston. Said Damari was fine, but Jay Crawford really put the wood to him. And that the other thing, though, and let's see if Derek Nix chimes in with the way everyone else has been talking. The name that I heard from the offensive side of the scrimmage was Omar Mabson.
Yeah, curious to know, you know, if Coach Nix is willing to call out or single out an individual player. And so, I mean, Omar's been one of the bright spots of the preseason, one of the pleasant surprises for Auburn, I think, is how advanced Omar Mabson is, considering that situation, considering that he's a guy who reclassified and missed the spring.
Right.
As far as Jake Crawford goes, well, go ahead, Bill.
No, I was going to say, I'm sure, you know, somebody's got to ask about him because every single player seems to have brought Omar up.
And as for Jay Crawford, Bill, I think it's great because we talk so much about Jay Crawford's ability in coverage and
right.
And the way that those skills, you know, really helped him, earn a place on this team as a true freshman. I think let me ask you, Coach, when one of your so-called cover corners is willing to get his jersey dirty and drop a running back or a wide receiver with a big hit, what does that do to the rest of the defense?
Yeah, just the excitement fires him up, shows him that guy's just not a cover guy, that he's going to be able to come up and make physical plays. And that's just another plus when you got a guy that not only can cover, but he'll deliver and hit you.
You guys had some fellas who could cover and hit in the in the secondary during your time, and I think that's got to be a huge boost. Reminding people he's a complete football player. He's
right.
Not just
he's not just a cover guy. Yeah.
Yeah, as important as the coverage is, especially on the outside, showing people you're willing to it's contact sport.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. You know, you got to come up, fill the lanes. keep everything back inside to the middle of the field. And you got a guy out there that can hit, that, like you said, that's just another plus for the defense.
Hasn't been the biller. Hasn't been a ton of talk about tight end this offseason.
Nope.
I always love our chances with Ben Agamawa. And yeah, I'm curious as to what's different about the approach. I mean, when you have this many wide receivers who seemingly deserve targets, you know, it might impact how you use your tight ends. But Brandon Frazier has been around forever, and he's somebody that they seem really excited about what they could do with him this offseason. And we've seen Preston get some targets. Tate Johnson is really a cool story.
Yeah, I mean, Auburn's only got four tight ends on the roster. You mentioned three of them, and Ryan Gee is the fourth, an incoming freshman. So yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to talk to Ben and see how much he thinks the tight ends are going to be involved.
Yeah, we mentioned the situation with Hollis on Friday, and that's a disappointing setback for that young
right.
man, and hopefully he can straighten things out. But no, certainly. Certainly positive news from that wide receiver room that there's not going to be any, that the legal situation won't necessarily be hanging over Malcolm's head. This offseason has to be a relief.
Oh, yeah, there's no question about that. Dan, just wanted to get your quick thoughts. Any surprises to you from the preseason AP Top 25?
You know, I think Penn State being two is a – I mean, I get that. You know, there's a lot of quarterback instability among the top teams, and Penn State bringing back Drew Aller is a plus for them. But I don't know. I'm a little surprised to see folks that bullish on Penn State. And really, aside from that, I mean, there's a lot of. I keep wondering how South Carolina is going to live up to this hype, Bill. That's a lot of. Being picked to finish fifth in the SEC,
mm-hmm.
now a couple of top 15 finishes in the polls. I mean, there's a lot riding on Lenora Sellers this year.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. 13 in the AP, and being the fifth, they are the fifth highest rated SEC team, fits right in from the SEC prediction. So, yeah, and how about the fact that, I mean, 10 SEC teams in the top 25, but Auburn only plays four of them.
We've mentioned that when you looked at the SEC predicted order of finish, Auburn only plays two of the top seven, and they're at home in both of those games against
right.
Alabama and Georgia. So, I mean, and Auburn plays four of the bottom five in the SEC's predicted order of finish as well: Missouri, Arkansas, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt. So, you know, in some ways, the schedule sets up now far better than it ever did during SEC West play, when Auburn would play Alabama and LSU and Georgia every single year. But Bill, I think, something else to remember with Lenora Sellers. He was the only offensive player from South Carolina to make the first, second, or third team all-conference teams in the preseason to get that kind of recognition. That's so tough for a quarterback to be the only one getting that kind of attention. I just wonder, that's a team that I mean, I want to see how Tennessee responds after Nico left, for sure. South
right.
Carolina's the team that folks have sort of agreed on. I've got my doubts.
Yeah, and I mean, if there isn't another Gamecock that's worth getting consideration for a top three teams as far as all conference is concerned, it's going to be tough for Lenoris to do it by himself.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a really tall order for a team, and they've got some tough teams on the schedule too.
Yeah, they do. Dan, I know you're about to be heading in. Good luck. I mean, pass along my best to everybody over there. Sorry I can't be there, but. It is what it is. I thought, man, I'd be in the studio today. Let me tell you, just trying to get up and get around here wears you out. It is amazing that I'm still feeling as, tired after doing, it seems like, little to nothing.
Well, conserve your strength, Bill, and it's great that you're back on the air, even if you can't be here on campus, you know, for the player interviews. But it's it works out because we need someone to host the show right now. And it's Brian Matthews tomorrow, by the way.
Good deal.
Brian,
yep, that's great.
Brian's coming in tomorrow. He's on campus right now doing coaches interviews, but we will talk to him tomorrow.
All right, that's great. Offensive coaches today, defensive coaches Wednesday, right?
That's right, and noon Wednesday, so that won't...
Yeah, it's funny that they're practicing... Yeah, interesting. They're practicing this afternoon. Then the other practices that we know of this week are in the morning.
Yeah, curious as to why that is. But we should have defensive coaches on Wednesday before the show.
All right, good deal. Talk to you if I don't see you. Definitely be talking with you tomorrow on the show.
All right, see you guys.
All right, we will get to that's Dan Peck on his way over to the football complex to interview Auburn offensive assistant coaches. And we'll have some audio from that we can use tomorrow. And if there are any little tidbits that pop up while we're on the air this afternoon, we'll pass those along. We'll get to our final break of hour number one. Love for you to join in, 334-321-1390. It's Bill, Coach Don Dunn, here on the Monday edition of The Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, final segment of hour number one here on this Monday afternoon. Bill and Don with you here this afternoon. Dan is on his way, or he's probably in the complex now, as the Auburn offensive coaches are going to speak with the media following practice today. It is interesting that they're practicing this afternoon, and then the rest of the week, at least as far as we know it, on Wednesday and Thursday, we know they're practicing in the morning, because on Wednesday following practice, it'll be defensive assistant coaches. Then Thursday, there's a viewing window for the media, which begins with the start of practice at 9:30, and then Hugh Freeze will talk with the media following the practice on Thursday afternoon. And speaking of practice, I got another email today, and I'm sure that, you know, season ticket holders and, you know, folks that are in the system for Auburn University are getting these emails. And Thursday is another opportunity for fans to be able to watch an Auburn football practice. As it's part of the VIP experience, where you can you get a tour of the football complex, then get a chance to watch the practice. I believe when practice was open the other day, fans were out there, and they list some pictures of that. A reminder that the experience isn't permissible to anyone in the 9th, 10th, 11th, or 12th grades because of NCAA recruiting rules.
Mm-hmm.
And certain parts of the experience, it said, will prohibit cell phone and video usage. they don't want anybody posting something.
Nope.
that they don't want.
Exactly.
Just in case. But that's interesting that they're doing that, and it's looked like they had a pretty decent crowd out for the first one.
Yeah, that's an interesting concept. I think it's great, and it gives, you know, some people that don't have a chance to go to practice or for sure tour the facilities, it's a great opportunity for them. I think it's a great idea.
And by doing it this way, I mean, it's twofold. I think it can be it's good for Auburn in a couple of ways. One, I mean, they're making a little money
mm-hmm.
off of this. And two, they're also able to control a little bit of who is there.
Right.
I mean, you sign up for it, and I don't think that you're able to swap your pass for somebody else. The person that signs up for it had better be there.
Right.
And they can probably check on you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure they reserve the right to refuse someone. I mean, like if
the strength coach from Baylor.
Yeah, I mean something like that showed up, and it's like, gee, this person
like
from
the guy from Michigan.
Yeah, a guy from Waco wants to come
Waco,
watch practice.
Texas. Hmm.
Yeah, just happened to be coming through, and I'm an Auburn fan. Yeah, sure you are. So anyway, that's going on tomorrow. I wanted to hear from folks again, and I'll toss back out the question I asked a while ago. The stat that over the last 22 years, at least one preseason top 10 team has dropped all the way out of the top 25. Is there a team that comes to mind for you for that? And the other thing is, when people weren't getting a lot of information, there still isn't a lot of information about the scrimmage on Friday, when the word that has come out about that scrimmage is that the defense really had the upper hand. Some folks said dominated, but the defense was the definite winner on Saturday. How does that make you feel as a fan? Are you are you really concerned? Because I've heard some people going, "Oh crap, here we go again. It's going to be just like the last couple of years." I mean, as I said, there are a couple of reasons. One of them could be that this Auburn defense is going to be really darn good. Auburn was a top 30 defense last year, and they've got a lot of pieces back.
Right.
And have added, I think, some very critical pieces in. I heard a couple of more names. Xavier Atkins, the LSU transfer linebacker, apparently was someone who stood out a little bit on Saturday. That's good news because that's a position where Auburn isn't extremely deep.
Right. Yeah, they need help there, and that's a good sign for
him. I hear the music playing. We need to get to our top of the hour break. We're halfway done. Love for you to join us in hour number two of the Monday Drive.
Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7.
And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to hour number two of the Monday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn with you here for hour number two. I am in the home studio, if you will, still recuperating. They say I'm doing fine, Don.
Good.
I mean, of course, I don't know what they're going to say. Oh crap, that doesn't look good. I mean, right. You know, you hope you don't hear that.
How's the rehab coming?
It was rough today.
Yeah,
was rough today.
Now, did you go yesterday? Sunday?
No.
Yeah.
No, I went three times last week, and I'm going today. I've got another one more for this week.
Okay.
But yeah, today it was like, let's see if you can't bend your knee a little bit farther than you had. And I'm in like 100 degrees or something now on bending the knee. But that doesn't bother me nearly as much, I swear, as trying to straighten it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, try to flatten it.
Right.
And I mean, I was struggling a couple of times trying to not let them know, you know, that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like, oh, yeah, everything's cool. It's like, yeah, you're killing me. But no, they say things are fine, and I'm ahead of the normal schedule, which is good.
Yes.
I sure hope so because, I mean, the plan is hopefully by the time we've got home games, and especially by the Georgia game.
Oh, yeah.
That able to get around a little bit better. Shout out to the folks at the orthopedic clinic and their PT folks as well. But it's hour number two of the drive with me at home, Don in the studio. Dan, you wonder where's Dan today? Dan is over at the Football Performance Center, where the offensive assistant coaches are going to be talking with the media following practice, an afternoon practice on this Monday. And so the offensive assistants, yeah, and I forgot Ben a while ago. I mean, it's like I'd almost forgotten offensive tight ends.
Yeah.
When we were talking Derek Nix and Ken Austin and Marcus Davis and Jake Thornton, and yes, Ben Agamawa as well. So they will be in and talk to the media. I'm sure there'll be a lot of questions asked about Saturday's scrimmage, and if indeed the coaches will admit that the defense had won the scrimmage.
Yeah, yeah.
Had the upper hand is what I was trying to think.
Right, right.
If they do, then I'm sure that the questions will be, well, why and what can you do about it?
Yeah.
Because the offense has, like as we said, they've got all the coaches back. They've gone out and gotten their guy that they wanted at quarterback. I feel like the quarterback room is probably as good as it has been in quite a while. You've got a few running backs, and again, Omar Mabson gets mentioned. Man, he has really come on here during the summer. I heard his name a few times during the summer, Don.
Yeah.
That he was really standing out, and you think, well, that's really good for a kid that is skipping his senior year and doing that. And I said, but you know, it'll be interesting to see. But as soon as they got started in practice, every single day you hear about it. And then when they put on the pads, even more. So I mean, it'll be really interesting. And he's had a couple of guys banged up. Damari's been banged up a little bit. Jeremiah Cobb playing with Cracked finger, although I believe he's pretty much close to 100% now. But, you know, Darrell Robinson working his way back from an injury. So, I mean, Omar is really trying to take advantage of this opportunity.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things out of the young man. And that is so hard to come in a year before he should even be here and do the job that he's doing. It's amazing how physical he is and how mature he is. And when he should be, you know, getting ready to play his high school senior year. So that is a plus. And you're going to need all your running backs. You know that, Bill, in this league for sure.
Yeah, well, Omar doesn't look like your average freshman.
No.
I mean, he checked in at 5'9", 213. And what a tough guy to bring down. He's got that low center of gravity. And he's one of those guys, he was at Auburn High, and apparently he has been still. He's one of those guys that seems to, no matter what, he's going to, once he's hit, he's still going to get a little positive yardage after that.
Yards
doesn't seem
after
like
contact.
He's ever hit and driven back.
Yeah. That, like we talked last week, yards after contact, that's so important. And I know that the running back coaches will chart that, and they'll keep that. You know, that's a big stat for the running back room. That's a big deal.
Oh yeah, and it's really really cool. Every year, there is a player or two that you don't expect that you're going to hear much about because you know you just sort of in your mind. And I can't help but do it.
Right.
I mean, you know, I read the resumes or I see spring practice, and then I sort of I've got my perception of what it's going to be in the fall. And invariably, I mean, almost every single year, there's a player or two that fall, they look like a different player. I mean, the summer workouts or they've gained confidence or they understand the system better. And it seems like a player or two comes out of nowhere every fall.
Yeah, every year you have that. Like you say, you just expect a freshman to be a freshman and kind of, you know, not show out or show up. And then, bang, here he comes. Or like you said, even like a sophomore or a junior that didn't really do much the year before, and then he just has a breakout year. And that's exciting, and, you know, that's what you hope for. That's why you bring him in. You know, you want him to get better and better as time goes on.
Yeah, I mentioned a guy in the first hour. I mentioned Xavier Atkins, the linebacker from LSU.
Right.
Saw him this spring and thought, gee, is he one of the safeties?
Yeah.
Because he's leaner.
Yeah.
He looked a little undersized and didn't really, while the media had the opportunities, didn't really do anything that really jumped out. And I thought, well, in my head, I had it thought that, well, he's probably going to need another year, put on a little weight, and see, you know, if he's going to be able to play linebacker or does he transition to safety. And now I'm hearing, you know, about practice after practice, boy, Xavier Atkins is really flashing out there, and he'll put a hit on you. So, I mean, that's good to hear, and it's great because, like I said, that's in a room where Auburn didn't have a ton of experience. I mean,
right.
DeMarcus Riddick is, you know, everybody loves DeMarcus. He's been held out a little bit. I don't think he's really injured. I think he may be banged up a little bit. But they also know what DeMarcus can do, and it may be for the betterment of both him and some offensive players that he gets held out for a little while because they want to see some of the other guys.
Yeah.
You know, we'd assume that Caleb Wheatland, the transfer from Maryland, would be a guy that would step in, and sounds like he's caught on pretty well, sort of assuming a leadership role, but doesn't sound like Robert Woodyard wants to give up that middle linebacker starting spot. He's been out there with the ones just about every time we've had a chance to see, and there's a young man that it's been a tough time for Robert Woodyard. He came in, and I believe he was the highest-ranked player in Auburn's signing class back in back a few years ago. I mean, he is a fourth-year junior, so in 2021, he was Auburn's highest-ranked signee, first team. You know, he was first team All-State and, you know, one of the Super Dozen and stuff like that in the state.
Right.
But he just, he's had trouble staying healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Played, you know, played in four games as a freshman, three games in 23, and because of those three games was able to get a red shirt. Then this past year, I had 17 tackles, but Robert, who has gained, he's put on like 18 pounds since last season.
Yeah,
is really having a good fall. So linebacker has been a bright spot, but another guy I really feel like I should mention, because this is probably one of the bigger surprises that at least to me here this fall has been. Back in the secondary, where Auburn is so deep, and we've talked about safeties and who's probably going to start. I mean, Caleb Harris looks like a surefire starter at safety after having a fabulous sophomore year last year.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, Sylvester Smith started at the other safety with Champ Anthony opening the season at the nickel. Well, it looks like Sylvester is working more at the nickel this year, and Champ has been playing more at the safety. But the guy who has stepped up and I think has made a big, big move is senior Jaquez Robinson. You know, the next person up that we had all thought is going to be, well, it's going to be new boy, Antoine Fagans from the outstanding freshman. Or, you know, or is it going to be, you know, somebody else? Jaquez is a guy that went to Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
For a couple of years, and then when Nick Saban retired, he went to Colorado.
Right.
And I guess it was going into Saban's last year. He went to Colorado to play for Deion. And as a matter of fact, I didn't realize this. I was just looking at his bio a few minutes ago. His first career interception was Bo when Colorado played Oregon. But Jaquez transferred to Auburn last year and came in early, but we didn't see an awful lot of him. Played some on special teams, and looked like he's just going to be that depth piece. But I don't think it's coincidental, and it'll be really interesting when the media gets a chance to watch on Thursday to see if he's back out there, because every time, including that Saturday scrimmage, Saturday practice that I've had a chance to watch, and I didn't get to the other day because of the surgery, but every other practice I've heard he's been out there. You know, he's out there with the ones, and it's funny because people would go, well, they just sort of mixing and matching. It doesn't really mean much. Well, but when I look and I see the rest of the secondary is the ones, I see Kay and Lee, I see Jake Crawford, I see Sylvester Smith, I see Caleb Harris. That fifth guy is probably, if he's not a one, he's a co-number one, because he's out there with all the other number ones.
Right.
And he's been out there with those guys. I believe he had a pick in the practice that there was on Saturday. No, as a matter of fact, I believe he had the interception on Friday. It came on a play where he was playing safety, and there was coverage. It may have been Jake Crawford on Cam Coleman, and that resulted in the pick by Jaquez Robinson. But, I mean, he's a guy that was really highly touted out of high school, and he's originally out of Jacksonville, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, he signed and played at Alabama for a couple of years before he transferred to Colorado. So he's got 1 year left, and he is one of those guys that really has come on and is pushing a lot of the bigger names, if you will, there in the secondary.
Yeah, that's a plus, like you said, Bill. There's always one or two of those guys that show up when you don't expect them. And I know we've talked all year about the linebacker room, and it's just a plus if that young man from LSU can step up and help us. And other than that, you know, it sounds like they're really getting some of their depth put together on defense. Again,
oh, yeah.
Who knows what really went on at the scrimmage. I doubt they'll say too much even tonight. At the press conference, they want to keep everything under wraps, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, they'll give some general terms.
Yeah.
You know, we'll hear that either the offense kept running the same things they've been running, and that, yeah, that helped the defense,
right,
or, you know, maybe we'll scheme some things for them the next time, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, again, the good news, it doesn't sound like anybody has been seriously injured yet here this fall, but it's been some really good competition. The people that are concerned about, is the defense taking it too easy on Jackson Arnold, trying to have him, you know, have confidence and stuff like that, they've been going against the ones. I have not seen much of the one offense against the rest defense. I mean,
right,
it has been best
good
against
on good
best,
yeah,
out there. And,
yeah,
that, and there's nothing wrong with that. That,
no,
that should do nothing,
no,
but get them better.
For sure.
Both of them.
Yes, both sides. And I understand the kicking game's coming along, too, which is a plus.
Yeah, that was the thing. I guess it was a disappointment that there weren't a lot of touchdowns in,
yeah,
the scrimmage.
Yeah,
but it sounded like all three kickers, including the transfer from Southern Miss, all,
mm-hmm,
three kickers kicked it well on Friday.
Good. Yeah, going to need those guys, too.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, you just look at last year. I mean, as,
yeah,
disappointing,
mm-hmm,
as last year was, Auburn makes a few more field goals. They're probably a 7-8 win team that's in,
mm-hmm,
a bowl game.
Yeah.
And you'd feel like, oh, that was the progression you wanted to see from year one to year two.
Right. You know, that's what we always talk about, what we got to improve on for this year. And special teams, you know, is one of the main things, along with, you know, field position, which contributes to that. Your kicking game, you know, do you return it? Do you let it bounce? Penalties in the kicking game, all those things we got to clean up.
334-321-1390. That is the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Love for you to join in. We had a couple of questions we tossed out in the first hour, one of which, when we were talking about the top 25,
mm-hmm,
pointed out that for 22 consecutive seasons, at least one preseason top 10 didn't even finish in the top 25. Who do you think that might be this year? And then, you know, are you concerned at all from hearing the word? And again, there haven't been a lot of details, but are you concerned at all to hear that the defense may have had the upper hand, may have dominated the practice on Friday? Love to hear from you. Again, 334-321-1390. We'll get to our first break of hour number two. Come on in and join us here on this Monday Drive.
The Drive continues. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill, Coach Don Dunn with you here on this Monday. Dan is over with a lot of members of the media who are speaking with Auburn offensive assistant coaches today following practice. Let's see, Auburn is off tomorrow. Then Wednesday they will practice in the morning, and then no defensive coaches will be available to the media. And then Thursday, a viewing window for the media at 9:30, and following practice, Hugh Freeze will talk with the team. So it sounds like practice going pretty well. I mean, all across the country, there are practices going on. You hear of an injury here or there. Did see that Baylor suffering a big loss, their backup running back.
Yep.
Big bruiser at around 240-pound running back, who ran for 620-something yards last year, is out for the season.
Right. I think it's a foot injury is what I heard. Yeah, that's too bad. Not for us, but for them. But yeah, that's what you worry about, Bill. We've talked about it so many times. You got to get to the game, and I know everybody wants you to hit and go full speed, but it's just almost impossible to do that.
Yeah, and it's one of those tough situations, catch-22 type thing. You want to know how good your guys are, and like I said, we've seen a lot of, you know, best versus best, although they don't want the quarterbacks taken to the ground.
Right.
They want the quarterbacks, you know, just like a little thud or a two-hand touch,
mm-hmm,
on the quarterbacks. But I think you've got to do some things. You can't just not have contact at all, because then you don't know what's going to happen when you get into a physical ball game.
Yeah, for sure. You got to have contact, like you said. You just got to try to control it. You know, a quick whistle. Don't throw people to the ground. You know, tackle high. There's a lot of things that you coach and try to coach, you know, don't leave your feet, you know, things like that during scrimmages or team situations. Sometimes a guy just comes in there like a, you know, a wild bull in a china shop and, you know, leaves his feet, throws his arms or something. You can avoid that. You got to coach that. I remember, I guess Bobby Petrino was the big stickler for that, you know, could not get anywhere near the quarterback. That was a real chewing out. If you got one of your D linemen got near the quarterback, he used to yell and say, "We'll just go practice on our own." So, yeah, stay away from that quarterback.
You know, and fans always feel like if the quarterback is struggling, that it's because you weren't physical enough with him in the preseason. But I mean, it's funny. I mean, because Gus used to catch flack for that, and yep. I mean. Hughes got some flack for that, but I mean, Bobby's had a few pretty good quarterbacks.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And so I mean, it's not like Auburn's the only place where people do that.
No,
because
it's everywhere I've ever coached.
Especially if you know who your number one quarterback is, you want him, you need him to be healthy when the lights come on, when the games really count.
Yeah, you that's the main guy, the trigger guy. You got to get him to the game. Got to be healthy and. And you can, you know, like I said, like we were talking, you can do some things that, you know, you can change up, switch up to make sure they stay up.
All right, in case you weren't with us in hour number one, there is some news today from off the field and in the courts. As a matter of fact, Malcolm Simmons has now been cleared of all wrongdoing in his legal matters after his case was dismissed Monday. So today... that word coming out, I guess, about an hour and a half ago. Simmons and his attorney had applied for youthful offender status last Friday, and today the case was dismissed and will no longer be pursued. So Malcolm Simmons, who has been working out with the team, will have that doesn't have that hanging over his head anymore, and you know, he's expected to be a starter along with. Eric Singleton and Cam Coleman this fall. 334-321-1390. That is the Drive hotline number. Love for you to join in. Again, it didn't sound like a great day. Don, I wonder, and see, here's something I don't know. I don't know if they tried to run the ball maybe a little bit more, just do more runs on Friday. And if that's the case... I could understand the defense even more having an upper hand.
Yeah, you don't know what the setup was. You know, you don't know if it was a scripted. You know, we're going to run the ball so many times, where the field position, or they just let it go. That would be interesting to know how run pass ratio. You know, on what it was on Friday at the scrimmage.
Yeah, because I mean the little tidbits that came out I mentioned a while ago. It sounded like there was an interception. And as I said, I believe it's the first turnover that Jackson Arnold's had, I didn't hear about a lot of other turnovers. Did hear that Omar Mabson had had another very good practice. We talked about him a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
True freshman is really, really pushing for some playing time there at the running back spot. And that Jaquez Robinson had perhaps the biggest hit of the scrimmage with a hit on Damari Alston. Damari's been banged up a little bit, and he's been out there in the non-contact jersey a lot. So, you have to hope that he will be healthy going into the Baylor game as well.
3-3-4-3-2-1.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you got to get those guys. We keep saying it, but it's so important to get them to the game. Get them to the game.
Oh yeah. Hey, we were talking, and I was thinking about this a while ago. I was meant to ask you then, but when I was talking about some guys. That have come on this fall. Omar's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned Xavier Atkins. I mentioned Jaquez Robinson. Guys that people may not have had penciled in their two deep on the depth chart, for sure not near the top. And all three of those guys having real good falls. I was wondering, I know it was different back in your day because every player wasn't always on campus for the entire summer.
Exactly.
And working out. But I mean, can you think of a guy or two that came back in the fall and you were really impressed and like wow, this guy has really dedicated himself over the summer and was able to make a big move there on the depth chart.
Yeah, you know, the D-line position, you know, guys like, you know, Reggie Torbore, you know, he moved from running back, I believe, wasn't
right.
he, Bill?
Yeah, he did. He was a running
back.
He
was kind of a surprise for us. You know, the Spencer Johnsons, all those guys, it just seems like they matured over the summer, you know, like night and day. And, you know, we always talk about that's a great thing about them. They get older and more experienced. Thompson.
Spencer was out working the boats offshore, wasn't he? I mean,
they are hauling pulpwood or something, crazy job. But yeah, all them guys, it was amazing. We didn't have them, and you know, it's changed so much over the last 20 years. They're here year round, which is a good thing, with the strength and conditioning, all the food, all the nutrition, all the specialization that they have now that we didn't have, and it's just a plus. And they're so much bigger, faster, and stronger now, even than they were 20 years ago.
Yeah, and well, obviously, an NIL has had something to do with that as well. They don't have to try to go home and find jobs.
That's right. They didn't have to go home and work. That's for sure.
Yeah, because that's where you'd hear, you know, what kind of crazy jobs some guys had over the summer.
Yeah. Crazy jobs. I remember that was a big thing. They'd always ask them in the first media day, "What'd you do over the summer?"
Yeah, and then some of them would just say nothing when you'd find out. There's some you'd get to know, and maybe not you're not on the record, and you'd find out, yeah, they spent the summer hanging out at the car dealership, not doing anything but getting paid.
There's a couple of those jobs around the country. For sure.
It's like, no, they weren't going to have to go outside and sweat because the boss wanted to see them play that fall.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. All right. We're halfway through hour number two here on this Monday. We'll go ahead and get to our bottom of the hour break. Still plenty of time for you to join in. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar as we continue with the Monday Drive.
106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final 20 minutes or so here on this Monday. Bill and Coach Don Dunn. And yes, we're little bit different as far as personnel-wise and everything here early this week because of the Auburn media opportunity for today, which was the Auburn offensive assistants being made available to the media at around 5. So with that, Dan is over there getting some interviews. Brian Matthews is over there. Brian will be on tomorrow. So tomorrow will be almost like a Monday. I don't think Brian's going to write a Tuesday musings, but he already had his Monday musings up. We'll get him to talk about that and find out what both of them. What's cool when you have multiple people that are usually you have the way they do it is a couple of assistants will come in at the same time, and you know some of the media will be talking with one and others will talk with the other, and then they'll usually stick around long enough to speak with all the media, but you get some different. You get some different information from different people because, you know, you may be talking with one coach while somebody asks a question that you hadn't thought about of another coach across the room. So we'll have that coming up tomorrow with Brian Matthews, who is in. Tomorrow is an off day for the football team's practice. Again, toss this out. I'm surprised nobody has called in.
Yeah.
And give us any
idea.
We're
going to have to give us our picks here in a minute.
Yeah. we're talking about the top 25.
Yeah.
I really wonder. I mean, you would usually figure it'd be somebody near the bottom of the top 25 that would be one that would drop out. Although Florida State was ranked pretty high last year.
Were they like second or something? Weren't they? Bill?
I think they were, and then they went 2-10.
Woo.
But. Yeah, I don't see Texas falling out of the top 25.
Nope.
Hard to imagine Penn State. And I'll tell you what, I'm a little surprised Penn State got almost as many first-place votes as Texas.
Yeah, they. For sure. They're number two in the AP. And then they were, what, number three, I think, in the coach.
Yeah, I think Ohio State and Penn State were
just flip-flopped. They sure did.
Ohio State is third. Clemson, you know, you just wonder. It's been crazy. It's been a crazy time for Dabo and Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they're going to be much better this year.
Right.
But, I mean, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Georgia, a lot of questions about the Dogs this year. Their offense, how is it going? Is it going to be better than last year's offense? Notre Dame had quite a few players that played there last year.
Yeah.
Last year with them. They're number six. Oregon, they're going to have a third straight new quarterback step in and just pick it up the way they have. or Alabama, LSU, or Miami.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of people thinking LSU. I think LSU is going to be pretty good.
Yeah, if their quarterback can stay healthy.
I think Nussmeier is a gunslinger, and he threw for 4,000 yards last year. The problem with LSU sure wasn't offense last year; it was defense. And if Brian Kelly can get them playing some defense, they'll at least be able to stay in the top 25. I guess it's just it's easy to look at the last team, but I mean Miami's also a team that I feel like I just don't know. I don't know what to expect out of Miami.
Yeah.
They seem to disappoint
every year
when the expectations are high.
Yeah, or they blow a game like they did with that fumble against, Georgia Tech. All they had to do was take a knee. I would say Notre Dame is my choice, maybe to fall out, and Miami, Bill. Those are two I'm looking at right now.
The only problem with Notre Dame falling out is they have to lose an awful lot to fall all the way out.
Yeah.
Because of their name.
And exactly. And they don't – I don't know what their schedule's like. I'll have to look that up eventually. I know they'll probably play Southern Cal again like they always do.
All right, here's their schedule. Well, hey, they open up at Miami.
Huh.
So there are two of your teams.
Yeah.
Week two, they host Texas A&M.
Hmm.
Then they host Purdue.
Easy.
Then they go to Arkansas. This is crazy.
Notre Dame is going to Arkansas?
I know. I had to look back and go, am I sure I'm looking at Notre Dame? It says 2025 regular season schedule.
Wow.
Notre Dame Fighting Irish, 0-0. Yeah. Before they play Boise State at home, NC State at home, Southern Cal at home, at Boston College, Navy at home, at Pitt, host Syracuse, and then go to Stanford. It's not the toughest schedule
no,
in the world.
No.
I mean, I don't see them falling out of the top 25.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not.
On the other hand, what about – let's see if I can quickly look at Miami's schedule. I thought I could do that and get to it. I guess that's not going to work. Let's see.
You know, you don't know about Michigan. You hear some question marks about them. Indiana, what are they going to bring back? I mean, who knows?
Well, I mean, if they bring back a schedule like they had last year, they had the easiest schedule in the world.
Yeah.
Let's see. Here's Miami's schedule. Again, they open the season. They open the season hosting Notre Dame. They've got Bethune in week two, South Florida in week three. Then they host Florida in week four. Man, they're staying in state. Get this.
Yeah.
I mean, so they've got – yeah, they go Notre Dame, then Bethune, South Florida, Florida State. And they go to Tallahassee. Before they have Louisville at home, Stanford at home, go on the road to SMU, Syracuse, and NC State at home, close out the season at Virginia Tech and at Pitt. They may fall out of the top 20.
Yes.
Especially if they lose a couple of those in-state games.
Yeah.
Interesting. They play Florida and Florida State back-to-back.
Wow. At home or split?
Florida's at home. Florida State's on the road.
Okay. Yeah, that's a pretty tough schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Louisville should be tough for them.
Yeah, I think they will be.
Yeah.
And you coached with Jeff Brom.
Oh yeah, yeah. He got the head job at Western when Bobby left for Louisville. Bobby Petrino, and I stayed there with him, and then went to Purdue with him. So, yeah, Jeff's a good coach, really good coach.
I was going to say, I've always liked him. I liked him when he was a player.
Oh, yeah, tough.
And then have always liked him. His teams have performed better than a lot of people have expected many times. And I like that when a coach has a team that people are maybe a little iffy on that they seem to overachieve.
Right.
He's had that. And, of course, he's home now.
Right. He's got to be good at home. He's, like I said, he's the golden child that came back. But he did a great job at Purdue. That's a hard job.
Yes,
he
did.
That was a tough job. Man, I tell you, that it was really tough. And he got them turned around, and that's how he got the Louisville job for sure.
Well, that and the fact that, like you said, I mean, he's
homegrown.
Homegrown. He's from Louisville,
right.
And he played at Louisville,
right?
And now he's back at Louisville. But I wonder this, with the situation that we have in college football, if an opportunity came up and I know Purdue's in the Big Ten, but I mean a contender in the Big Ten or the SEC, I think it'd be tough for him to not at least take a long, long look at it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think he would, and I think they would be happy to get him, for sure.
Now, let's see, something I don't think we mentioned this. Auburn, I think they're 37 in total votes. I think they got 10 total votes. And Baylor, by the way, is 28th.
Okay.
But again, I think if Auburn gets a win in Waco, if they're not in the top 25, they will be very, very close.
Yeah, I agree with you. If they go out there and win, they should be in the top 25. That's a tough game opener on the road.
Even though Auburn is a slight favorite right now, which may surprise some people because it had been, I think it opened up as Auburn as a point-and-a-half favorite. It moved over to Baylor being a point-and-a-half favorite, and then now has switched back to Auburn being about a two-point favorite.
Oh, boy. I guess it's that guy that bet that money, remember, on Friday?
Oh, yeah. I think it'd probably take more than 10 grand to push the line 3.5 points. But, you know what they're trying to do. They're just trying to get the money even on both sides, like
right,
you said.
Right.
But that is interesting that Auburn has moved back to be a slight favorite against Baylor. 334-321-1390, if you want to give us your pick for a team that might fall out of the top 10, or we can just do it this way, a team you think is going to underachieve, disappoint this year. And then we can do the flip side, too, a team that you feel like should be better than people are predicting this year. I think Auburn's a perfect example of a team that could do that, because we know by following them so closely the talent that they have and the schedule that they have. This is probably as beneficial or comfortable a schedule as Auburn's had in a long time. I mean, even though you've got four tough games here in the first six, you're only playing four top 25 teams this year. The two highest ranked teams on your schedule are coming to your place. So, usually isn't that, I wouldn't say easy, but it's not nearly as bumpy as a lot of the roads that Auburn's had to travel in the past.
For sure, yes.
Yeah. All right, we'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for you to join us, 334-321-1390, as we continue with the final segment of the Monday Drive.
I am Eddie Smith, and I
be a part of the drive. Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive final segment with Bill and Don here. Dan will be back in tomorrow, and Brian Matthews will be in as well, as we'll have our usual Monday lineup on Tuesday, because they're right now over at the Waltos Football Performance Center getting some comments from the Auburn assistant offensive coaches. So we'll see what they have to say today about the scrimmage this past week and how things are going this fall from the offensive assistants. The defensive assistants will be speaking with the media following practice Wednesday morning, and then Hugh Freeze will talk following the Thursday practice and the at least the beginning of that. And usually, I tell you what, it's been pretty good. Mm-hmm. The media has had the opportunity pretty much when there is a viewing window. They've let the media watch the entire practice.
That's great.
That'll probably be the case on Thursday.
Yeah.
Something that we hadn't really mentioned today, and it's not like it's old news. We were talking about it as we were going off the air on Friday.
Right.
Auburn did indeed pick up the commitment from one of the top wide receiver prospects in the country in Jace Matthews.
Yes.
So, yeah, Marcus Davis continuing to really stock that receiver room. And here are some of the thoughts. People are going, well, just about all these guys could be back. Well, in the days of the transfer portal, you surely can't count on that. Plus,
no.
you had a couple of transfers in Eric Singleton and Horatio Fields. And if nobody even transfers out, you'd have to replace them. Matthews, LSU and Texas A&M really, really wanted him. And I think about the LSU receivers that we've seen through the years.
Oh, yeah.
And I watch a little video of him, mm-hmm. and he looks like those guys.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
he's 6'2", about 185 right now. He's physical. He can go up and get the ball, and then doesn't seem to be run down very much. I'd say he's not the fastest receiver you're going to see, but he's fast enough, especially at his size.
Yeah, they all look the same. Remember, Bill, they all look the same. Tall,
golly,
long,
it's amazing how
athletic. Oh, man.
Yeah, and
then
you see
Alabama
in the NFL
had those guys.
Some of the best receivers in the NFL now are Alabama guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this past year, I believe, as a junior, Jace had nearly 70 receptions for 1,300 yards and 15 touchdowns. Also averaged 27 yards kickoff return. So, I mean, that is a big, big pickup. And, again, it's a long way till December. And LSU and Texas A&M aren't going to give up there. But, again, the concerns that Auburn didn't have what it took to go out and recruit. You pluck a guy out of Greenville, Mississippi.
Yeah, Mississippi.
Well, excuse me, Leakesville, Mississippi. It's Greene County.
Yeah, that's a small place.
Yeah, but I mean, you go in there and get the and Ole Miss wanted him too.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Now I didn't get a chance to see the video. Apparently, the commitment ceremony was like right after we went off the air on Friday. But I believe he grabbed an Ole Miss hat and then tossed it and then put on the Auburn hat. But that's a big pickup.
Yeah.
That's a big pickup for Auburn.
Yeah, for sure. It really is. And Mississippi's got some good players now. Ooh, I'm telling you. And I think it helped having Deuce here, you know, a quarterback, no doubt.
Well, you're right about that.
They were big buddies from what I understand, yeah. That always helps. When you get somebody from out of state that's happy and likes where he is, I mean, that's a great recruiting tool.
And it sure doesn't hurt when it's a quarterback.
No, I mean, not at all. I'm going to throw you the ball.
yeah, no kidding.
You know, Bill, it's 1 week before Tiger Talk, I believe. Next Monday, I think.
Oh,
Andy
that is
mentioned.
Right. A week from today.
Unbelievable.
We should have Andy on tomorrow.
Yeah.
As part of the show, too. And he'll remind us of that. It's interesting. I mean, Tiger Talk was, I wonder if they'll do it again that way this year. Mondays during football and then move to Thursdays during basketball season.
I think he said when he was on with me last week that it was going to be like that, but I'm not 100%.
Well, I mean, it all depends on when is the best time
right.
for the coach in that
sport. Yeah.
That it is in their season.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense. I mean, Mondays generally are a little downtime, and
right.
it's easier for Coach Freeze to be on during football season.
Yeah.
Thursdays work a little better for Bruce and basketball. So, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's what Andy said, and you can check with him tomorrow for sure.
Yeah, that's that makes sense. It sounds good.
Yeah.
So, so we'll have a lot for you tomorrow. Be able to – I mean, we could probably run some audio, but usually, I mean, you'll have had a chance to read about what some of the players have said. But it'll be interesting to get both Dan and Brian's thoughts on how the offensive coaches were.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you get more from seeing and watching them than you do just necessarily what the words that they say. So we'll see how, you know, they seem to feel about how their guys are competing. I mean, it just appears this is a team that has much more depth than they've had in the past on both sides of the ball and pretty much at every position, with the possible exception of tight end. But yeah, like somebody else said, I mean, it sounded like the kicking game was even good. I mean,
yeah,
didn't get a lot of touchdowns,
mm-hmm.
but I'd probably be a little concerned if there were a lot of touchdowns in the very first scrimmage of the fall.
Yeah, you don't want your defense to give up 10 or 15 touchdowns in the first scrimmage.
And I doubt DJ Durkin would be
very happy.
Would be very happy with his players or his coaches.
I wouldn't want to like be
that
there.
Happen. Yeah, no kidding.
I've been there.
So Don, what's on the schedule for you?
Not much. Just if you need me, let me know, buddy. I hope you're doing better. Keep working. I know it's a pain. Get it? But rehab is so important, as you know.
Well, I'll tell you the biggest problem really for me has been more than the neuropathy, the muscles around where the surgery was.
Yeah.
Just the tingling, feeling like I've got like a zillion
needles,
ants or
yeah.
something like that, little just that are crawling.
I know. I
hate that's
that.
What's made it tough.
Yeah.
That's what's made it tough trying to get any sleep.
Right. I bet.
They did change it change the dressing for the first time today.
Okay.
I didn't get a chance. They put the new slapped the new thing on before I could count all the staples that were in there. But I've got
it's been a week.
Yeah, it's
right?
been 1 week.
Good.
Yep.
1 week
yep.
down. It's getting better and better.
That's the plan.
Mm-hmm.
They said usually, you know, by the end of week three, you're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. And it's
well,
like,
good.
Come on and get here. It's two more weeks.
That's right.
Don, thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you, buddy.
And we appreciate Dan joining us for a segment. Again, tomorrow it's Dan and Brian and me. I'll probably still be here at home, but we'll definitely be on the show. And we should have Andy Burcham in hour number one, Jake Crane in hour number two. So a fun show on tap tomorrow. It was a fun one today. Appreciate all of our listeners. But we are out of time here on the Monday edition of The Drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.